Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'd like to say thank you for everyone being here today in attendance at Webster UMC, where God is good all the time.
At all times, God is good.
Amen. So let's start out with some announcements and God sightings today. Do we have any God sightings first?
Just the beauty of this earth coming alive.
Definitely.
Every time you open the door or look out the window, something new is in bloom. It really gives you a really good sense of peace and joy.
BJ?
And all the pretty flowers that the wind and the birds have been blowing in, so they will bloom so you can enjoy them.
Oh, for sure. Do we have any other God sightings this morning? Well, thank you all for sharing. I also have a God sighting. Tomorrow is Miss Evelina's birthday. I know she's giving me that sideways grin like, no, you're not going to. But yes, we are. We're going to sing happy birthday to you. Gifted. So I appreciate each and every one of y'all here today. We will have coffee and cake afterwards, so please hang around and Miss Evelina can blow out her candle. Okay. Do we have any announcements that we need to follow up or any other God sightings?
I have an announcement.
Okay.
Today from 3 to 5 is the Webster May Day celebration over here at Webster Park, and I'll have musicians and food trucks and of course the playgrounds out there for the kids, and we're going to be doing a maypole dance. So come on out if you can.
If you like dancing around a maypole, please sure come out and do so. I understand Diane is going to be the leader, the ringleader of it all.
Not the dancing.
She says not the dancing though.
Yeah, the dancing.
Okay.
And the other stuff.
So if you want to see Diane Shalek dance, today is the day to do it.
She does a good job.
I don't think you can do that with two canes. I can see it now.
So just some follow-up announcements, and I will continue to remind. The Chosen Bible series still continues. We will have it again this Thursday, 5:30 to 7:15. Mike and Diane will be providing and hosting the dinner for that evening. It has been really a wonderful time of fellowship and of learning and coming together. This will be the last season that we will do until September. So we hope to finish this on the week of May 31st and then take the summer off and then jump back into it in September. We do have a fifth Sunday sing coming down the pike. I'm really excited about this. We have everyone, I think, in place to help out with this, and there will be a coffee fellowship that will follow after that. Also, we have an SPRC meeting. Please make a note on your calendar. That is May 12th at 12:15. And lastly, it's coming fast, especially for me. We will have our UMC annual conference at Lake Junaluska. Everyone is invited. If you have the opportunity, come out that Friday morning about 10 o'clock. They have this phenomenal worship service that happens during this time. There's just all kinds of praise music. I can really say a wonderful sermon that just keeps you on the edge of the seat. You don't know what's going to happen next. So if you get a chance, come out on that Friday at 10 o'clock at Lake Junaluska. It is at the big Coliseum-type building that's got, I believe it's Sequoia in front of it.
Studio.
Stewart, thank you. Yeah, the Stewart Building. So please come out and be part of that. I think you will really enjoy that service. Do we have any other announcements or God sightings this morning? All right, then let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we pray that you just receive our worship and that it honors you, and that we ask that you guide our thoughts in the way of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help lead us in all that we do so that we may glorify you during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to ask that you please turn into your book, your Bible, to Exodus 16 and read 4 through 14 as Diane brings us to Center Upon the Lord. Proceed to the song. I would like a show of hands to see how many actually know Come Sinners to the Gospel Feast. Okay, I'm going to have, Diane, I hope you do. So I'm going to ask Diane to play it through one time before we actually sing it, so you will have, you'll be a little bit familiar with the song. And we will do verses 1 through 3, and you can find this in your red hymnal on page 339. Please stand if you're able and join me in Come Sinners to the Gospel Feast. Please join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Miss Bonnie.
Please continue prayers for Madison and Brenda. And also this week, J.D. is giving me a run for my money. For his money, and he spent 6 hours in the ER Tuesday, and now he has a blood clot.
Ooh.
And contempt couldn't get down. But it's better now. Thank God.
Thank God. Do we have any other prayer concerns that we need to lift up?
The government and the whole world.
Continue prayers for our government.
Yeah.
J.D., Madison, who else do we have, do we need prayers for? Okay, then let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Holy God, you draw us near to you long before we even see you. We listen to the stories that you have told and the ones that we're afraid to speak aloud. You hold our grief and our questions, and we had hoped. We hope that you do not turn away when we lift these up. Today we pray for all those who walk and have heavy hearts, for those who carry in illnesses, and for those who are living with depression or anxiety. For those who feel unseen or unheard, for those who are grieving for someone that they have made loved and have lost. We ask for those who are searching for a reason to keep going, that you will give them hope, because hope is not lost. Walk beside them, O Lord, and let your presence be their steadying grace. We lift up our community for families that are under strain, for children and youth trying to navigate a world that sometimes feel like that has left them out. We lift up our government, J.D. and Madison, and others who remain on our hearts, for the elder who has been forgotten, for our neighbors who are lonely, and for those who long for peace, not only in their homes, but within this country. Stay with us, this Lord. Be with us. And Father, we pray for your church, that we may be the people who walk along others, who listen well, who break bread with compassion, who carry hope into places that feel hopeless. Make us the signs of your resurrection in a weary world. And now, with the confidence of children who know that they are loved, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I will now ask Miss Bonnie if she will join me at the table. Please join me with the offertory hymn found in the bulletin. Holy One, before we receive the bread and the cup, we pause to offer you our gifts and our lives. Let this act of giving shape our hearts for the sacrament ahead. Make us generous as you are generous, faithful as you are faithful, and ready to be nourished by the grace you provide. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
For I say to you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken the bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them and saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this is the cup which is poured out for you, is the new covenant ratified in my blood.
This is the word of God for the people of God. For those who are joining us online today, the message is called, I Want More. Now, there's something about a dining room table, or just a table, that you fully don't understand until you actually need one. Most of the time, we move quickly through our days, we pass people, exchange a few words, and we just keep going. Life has a rhythm that keeps us busy and moving forward all the time. But there are moments that ask us just to slow down. Something gently, sometimes not, and sometimes in those moments, a table becomes more than just a place to sit around. It becomes a place where something deeper happens. I'm reminded of that in a story about a neighborhood that there was this difficult season that the people had together. A family had lost their home in a fire. And at first, people responded with all the typical things that you will see after a fire. People brought clothes, they brought supplies, and whatever else they could gather and would bring it to the people. But after those first few days passed, a few neighbors decided to do something simple. They began sharing a weekly meal. It was nothing elaborate, kind of like what we do on Thursday nights. It's casseroles, soup, or whatever people could bring. But over time, that table became something more than just a place to eat. It became a place where grief could be spoken, where we needed to be able to laugh and let off some of that tension. It became a place where we could share. It became a place where family that had lost everything began to feel, in some small, real way, they were not alone. You see, around that table, relationships and friendships had occurred. And right before them, they had never even considered part of the people in their community would ever be a friend. Some now even considered family. But here they are. There was nothing different about the food. It hadn't changed. It was still ordinary, but something in the presence of a shared life and shared love suddenly made that table become holy. That's the kind of moment that helps us to begin to understand what Jesus was trying to do in Luke's gospel. Now, on the night before his crucifixion, Jesus gathers with his disciples around a table. He knows what is coming. He knows that betrayal is already in motion and fear will soon scatter the people sitting with them. And yet he does not back down. He leans in. He chooses the table. And it's not a table filled with certainty or strength, but it's a table filled with people who are struggling, who are faltering, and will not fully understand what has happened until it's said and done. But still he says, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. And so they do. They sit together. Jesus takes bread. Now, I'm going to show you something. It's not the type of bread like some bean that we know, or Morita, whatever it's called. It was this. This is called a matzah bread. And I'm going to explain why this bread is so important. But right, so we, he had said, take this bread, and he breaks it. I'm going to try not to put crumbs all over the place. And he breaks it. And he tells everyone, this bread represents a new covenant. It represents who I am and what I'm getting ready to do for you. He breaks it. He offers it to them. And he says, this is my body given for each one of you. We'll talk about that bread in a minute. And then he takes the cup and he speaks of this new covenant once more. And he pours it out. And he talks about this juice. In that moment, he takes something ordinary as a piece of bread and a cup of wine and gives it meaning way far by what we could grasp at that time. What makes this moment even more powerful is that Jesus is not creating something out of nothing. He's drawing from a story his disciples already knew, a story that had shaped identity for generations, the bread and the wine. Now, the bread, as I said, is called a matzah bread. It's a flat, unleavened bread. And they had to bake it before it would even rise because there was fermentation in the process. And it would take much longer. And they didn't want that. They wanted something they could carry where it wouldn't go bad on them when they left Egypt. The juice, we believe, was made from a light red grape called betuni. Now, they think there might have been some other grapes involved. We're not sure. But it was often mixed, as we have just learned this past week in our Bible study, with herbs and spices. Now, I'm not sure about, honey, maybe, mint, okay, cinnamon, pepper, and even tree resin was put into their wines at that time. So I'm not sure. When they talk about a bitter wine, sometimes I'm thinking about some of the ingredients that they had put into this wine. But this meal they're sharing is really Passover. And it's in remembrance, all the way back to the book of Exodus tonight, when the people of Israel were still slaves in Egypt. It was a night filled with urgency and uncertainty. They were told to prepare a meal, to mark their doors with lamb's blood, and to be ready to move out. It was not just about eating, it was about trusting God and that He was going to act. And so when they took a lamb and they shared it in a meal and they marked their homes, and when the time came, God passed over them, sparing them and setting them on a path toward freedom. That meal became a way of remembering in their minds, but also in their bodies, that God delivers, that God makes a way where there seems to be no other way. Every year after that, they would return to the table. They told the story over and over again, so it wouldn't be something distant. It would be something part of their lives. But it's something that still defined who they were. They were children of God. So when He takes the bread, instead of only pointing backward, He brings it back to the present. He says, "This is My body." He takes the cup and speaks of this covenant in His blood. In that moment, He has not abandoned the old story. He is fulfilling it right there. He is saying that what God began in Egypt is now being carried forward through Him. And just as the Passover lamb marked the people for deliverance, Jesus is now offering Himself as the one through the ultimate deliverance comes from. He is saying what God began in Egypt, it now ends with Me. The table, then, is not a new idea. It's a continuation of God's way of working through history. Again and again, God meets people through meals, through ordinary elements, such as unleavened bread and a cup that carries so much meaning. In the Methodist Church, we have a movement that is called Fresh Expressions. Out of Fresh Expressions becomes a ministry called a Dinner Church, which Ken and I were very active in for about 6 years. The concept around the Dinner Church is this. People from all walks of life come and sit down and have a meal together. They don't have to be a member of that church. They don't have to attend that church. Every time we see Jesus, Jesus is eating and doing ministry at the same time. And people are following Jesus. Why? Well, He tells them some part, "Well, I made food for you, so you want some more." But He also tells them, "I have something that will make you never thirst or go hungry again." But this whole concept of sitting around the table and creating new relationships and new friends and be able to talk about your life and how God has been part of your life. Wow, what a concept to think about. That you can sit here and you can meet someone that you don't know over a bowl of mashed potatoes and gravy, and people want to come back. And eventually those relationships begin to develop and you start making friends with these people and they see that the light of Christ is within each one of you. And it's like, wow, if that's what Christ is about, maybe I want a little bit of that. So this helps us to understand why something as simple as bread and a cup carries so much meaning even for us today. You see, because God has always worked this way. People meeting each other in the ordinary. In the ordinary. Simply to reveal something so much powerful. The holy. The holy is with us. In the United Methodist Church, we do not say that the bread and cup are physically become the body and blood of Christ. But we also do not believe that it's simply symbolic. We do not. From the teachings of John Wesley, we believe that Christ is truly present with us spiritually, mysteriously, and powerfully at this very moment. I believe that Jesus is right here in this church beside me. Communion is a means of grace. Which means that when we come to this table, we are not just remembering Christ, we are encountering Christ. He is right there. And maybe we understand that best not through explanation, but through the experience. There was a nurse who once shared with me about sitting with a patient near the end of life, and the man had not been able to see his family. And the room felt unbearably quiet. And before her shift ended, she was compelled to go to the cafeteria and get a small piece of bread and some Welch's grape juice. And she went back to that room and she looked at him and she sat there and she asked him, "Would you like to take communion?" And he says, "Yes, very much." And she says she could not explain what happened next, but she felt it in the room, something shift. The loneliness was still there, but it was no longer the only presence. It was as if at that moment he was no longer alone. You hear what I'm saying? You still be lonely. And still have God with you. And I've seen something like this myself. The very first time I got a phone call, I was a lay person, had never served communion, never really stood beside a bedside with a person dying. Phone call says, "Can you and your pastor come out and administer last rites?" I was scared to death because I did not know what to expect. Now, this is many years ago. And so I called my pastor and I said, "There is a lady who is getting ready to meet Jesus. And she has requested that she has one communion still left." So we went to her place in her deathbed. The room was quiet, and through our tradition, we might speak of it as a final communion, but many of us know it as the last rites. And so we read the liturgy, we had the juice, and we had the bread. There was no grandeur, there was no perfect setting. It was just quiet. A simple room a fragile body and a few people holding that space. And there, something as ordinary and bread and juice changed. I rejoice because I was part of this beautiful moment, knowing that we had encountered Jesus through this lady. We had seen Jesus. She was knocking on heaven's gate, and we were privileged to be part of that communion. As the words were spoken and the elements received, it became clear this was not a ritual that was being performed. There was peace in that room. All of us felt peace. And it did not come from us, believe me. You could see her face change. You could see the peace that overcame her. It's something I still cannot explain today, except it was of Christ. It was as if the distance between heaven and earth had been drawn very thin at that moment, and we knew it wouldn't be long. Nothing, again, about the elements had been changed. Nothing had changed. They were still simple, ordinary things, but Christ was present. Not abstractly, not symbolically alone, but truly present. Meeting her in that moment, hold her in a way that we could not. And then I had a second opportunity, still a lay person, in a different whole setting, where I was asked to serve communion again on Christmas Eve night. And I sit there and I told my pastor, I says, I don't think I'm worthy enough to do this. He says, none of us are worthy, Patty. He says, none of us are, which is why I'm asking you to help me serve communion tonight. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh man, this is great. This is wonderful. I'm getting to serve communion with my pastor. I get to serve the people. Until I saw the little boy, a little blonde haired, little bitty boy. This little boy, he comes up. And I mean, he is a short little fella, right? And I get down on my knees to serve him so I can see him eye to eye. And the pastor actually follows my lead, and he gets on his knees. Because we realize it's Christmas Eve night. It's the night that the child of God is being born, and here I have a child in front of me, and I'm giving communion to this child. I lost it. I truly lost it. And the pastor sits there and he says, get back up, come on, we gotta keep this going, because the church is filled with that evening. Well, I'm sitting there and I finally got my eyes dried up, but I'm sitting there and I'm feeling pretty good about it. Well, at the end of the line, y'all gonna laugh. Here's that little boy again. And I sit there and I says, what do you need, son? And he sits there and he says, I want more. I want more. Wow. What an overwhelming amount of emotion. This is what it looks like when we come to the table, because when grace is encountered, we just don't talk about it. We truly receive it. It wakens something in us, a hunger, this longing, something more than that we cannot create for ourselves. That longing is what brings us to the table every time, because we do want more. I want more. When we come to communion, we bring everything with us. We bring our joy, our gratitude, our grief, our faith, our doubts, our questions, and even our weariness. And in the midst of all of that, Christ meets us where we are at. Not because we have everything figured out, because I sure don't. But he has chosen to be present with us. The table does not depend on our worthiness. It depends on His invitation and if you will accept it. And that grace offered here is not limited. It is not something that runs out. It is abundant. It is steady and it is faithful. It meets us in the ordinary moments of our life and in life's most sacred thresholds. It meets us in fellowship halls, in hospital rooms, and in Bible studies, in sanctuaries, and at bedsides. So when you come to this table today, come with openness. Come trusting that even if you cannot explain it, you know that Christ is there beside you. Come trusting that grace is being given, and perhaps somewhere deep within each one of us, we may even recognize that same quiet longing, a desire for more grace, a desire for more peace, a desire for more Christ being in our presence. And the good news is that this table right here, the longing is never turned away. Everyone is always welcomed again and again. Because truly deep in my heart, I believe that each one of us wants more. Amen. I will now ask Kent if he will come and join me at the table today. Kent is going to help with the liturgy for our communion. Miss Sonia is feeling very ill today, so please keep her in your prayers. She's hurt her back and she just didn't feel like she could be here comfortable. So in your books, I believe it's page 13 in the hymnal, y'all read the whole. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Son, Jesus Christ, by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to the disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day he raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread, and in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of death. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The body of Christ, given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. We will do what they call intinction. I believe everyone here is familiar with it. But Kent will give you the bread, and you will take the bread and dip it within the cup. Whew, boy, this is a powerful time, is it not? So I will ask for each one now, please come to the table as your ready? Thank you. God, if you will please bring out your insert today. Within your bulletin, you will find the song, I Have Got the Joy, where we'll do verses 1 through 3. Please stand if you're able. I've got the joy, joy, joy. Witness to his mercy. Go now. Amen.